I love it when things start off with a bit of a muddle. I had put together two Bible reading schedules and not realizing I had overlapped that first Sunday in January. So we had a whole cadre of people ready to read. And I think sometimes that first Christmas must have felt like a muddle to people when they tried to figure out what was happening in Judea. Anyway, I'm sure some of us are having a sigh of relief. The Christmas season is finally over. Some people, it's a hard time for them. They have lost loved ones. Christmas isn't like it used to be when they're kids. And it's just nice when the season is over. Other people are kind of sad because we love Christmas. I could have Christmas all year round and not be unhappy. I'm sure I'd get sick of it, but there's some of us who hate to take down the last little bits of doodahs around the house that say Christmas time is over. But Christmas ends with a bang. It ends with Epiphany, the coming of light. And Epiphany leads us into a whole season of light, of those little aha moments, those little epiphanies. Where is God going to appear today? Where can I find God in my life at this very moment? And so we end with that strange biblical story. For some of us, the shepherds, they always win if we had to, you know, those contests that they have where you have to choose a favorite song. And I think for some of us, the shepherds would win out as the best Christmas story. For others of us, it's the wise men coming from the east that is our favorite story. The shepherds, they're probably Jewish shepherds. It was a very Jewish story. Jesus, born King of the Jews. But this is other countries coming to worship this king. We are told, we're actually not told that there are three kings. In fact, that word that we have translated magi in Hebrew or in Greek, it's very ambiguous. So we don't know whether they could have been kings, they could have been astronomers, they could have been astrologers. They could have been magicians. We don't know. We know that all of those practices were there in Chaldea, which is where they probably came from. So they weren't from China or India. They were a closer part of the Middle East. But they saw something so amazing in the skies. So that tells me they were looking up. Even though it was nighttime, they were looking up into the stars and they saw some configuration that told them something was happening in Israel. How many of us, when we have a revelation of God that we don't understand, that is truly amazing, we just ignore it? We say, oh, it's just coincidence. I didn't really read that scripture properly, or I didn't understand it. It wasn't a miracle. The wise men didn't do that. Maybe that's why we call them wise men, because they didn't ignore it when something spectacular happened. They didn't say, oh, well, I'm sure those stars will go away soon. No, they followed the stars. They followed the night sky, even though it was an arduous journey. They couldn't take a bus. They couldn't take a train. They had to make a real effort to go and try and find this baby. Now, you can imagine if you came into Toronto. Now, let's pick a smaller place, Belleville. You're there to find a baby. How easy is that going to be? They didn't have directories back then. It's not an easy task. So they went to where would you go if you thought a king was being born? If you were in England, you'd probably go to London and go to the castle and ask King Charles, so where's the next king being born? Because you'd sort of figure he'd know. And that's exactly what they did. They went to Herod. But Herod, Herod's not a good guy. Herod's a jealous man. He's already killed off his own sons because he was jealous of them. Eventually kills a wife, maybe more than one. So he's a really, really jealous king. And he's not particularly religious either. He's a very, I guess we call him a secular Jew. The Romans have put him in power because he is Jewish. So they didn't want to have people saying, oh, Rome was the king. So they planted him there, but he is scared. He says, what? A baby being born? So he calls all the wise Jewish people in and he says, where's this baby going to be born? And of course they know. We know too, don't we? Though you are little, Bethlehem, you will become great, and from you will be born a king. If we know our Old Testament scriptures, we know as much as the Jewish people did. We know that he is going to be born in the house of bread. Bethlehem. That's what it means, house of bread. The one who will be the bread of life for all of us is going to be born in the house of bread. And so that's what Herod tells them. But we know how, it's a great story, isn't it? It's filled with intrigue. He says, you guys, when you find him, you come and you tell me, and I will come and pay homage to him too. Wink, wink. He had no intention of going to pay homage to this baby. Even if we've had a revelation from God, like the wise men had, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be opposition. If you decide, I think the Lord wants me to teach Sunday school. I think the Lord wants me to join the Chancel Guild. I think the Lord wants me to witness to my neighbor of what I know of Jesus Christ. Don't think you're not going to hit up to opposition. It's not an easy road. We know that from the life of our Savior, don't we? And it's not going to be easy for us either. But it's going to be worth it. So, sure enough, they leave Jerusalem, the capital, where you'd think that kings would be born. And they went 7 miles down the road. And whatever this apparition was, it stopped right over the house where baby Jesus was. I don't think it was the night he was born. He was probably living, maybe vacationing. Staying with somebody in Bethlehem, because it says they went to a house. The star was over a house. So they went and they paid him homage. What does it mean to pay somebody homage? Well, it worship, give him honor, and they did it by bowing before him. We don't usually bow before people very often, do we? But here was a baby that was going to be worth bowing towards. And they did something else. They brought gifts of, we have more gifts today, gold. I don't know if it was gold coins or gold bullion, but they brought the baby gifts. Gifts for a king. Gold would be something you would bring for a king, something that would show honor, something that would show you held this person in honor. You had to sacrifice to come and worship this king. What else did they bring? Gold and frankincense. Frankincense. I think I've used part of it. We won't notice that part, though. Frankincense. Was anybody know what it was used for? It's a perfume that was used in worship. So this was a gift fit for a priest, something that you would use in the temple. King and priest. What's the third gift? Myrrh. They brought him myrrh as well. Anybody know what myrrh is used for? Embalming. This is used for death. this is what you would embalm someone with when they had died. King, priest, savior. They knew who this baby was. Maybe they didn't know who he was, but they were there fulfilling scriptures. What Andrew read to us today. A multitude of camels shall cover you. This is from Isaiah, written about 600 years before Jesus. That's why we often have wise men coming on camels. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephrah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Isaiah wanted to give his people something to look forward to. They were in bondage. They were refugees away from their country. And he wanted them to know that light was going to come back onto Israel, onto Judah, and there were going to be people from all over coming and worshiping this king. The New Testament is a bit more blunt. There's gold and there's frankincense, and now there's myrrh as well. Because we know it's not just a king being born. It's not just a prophet and priest, but it is the savior of the world, the one who will have to die. And so they bring gifts for that as well. So right from the beginning, Jesus says in the Gospels that salvation comes from the Jews. We can't deny that. Jesus came to the tiniest tribe available. He could have come to the Babylonians or to the Egyptians and been born that way. Instead, he comes to the tiniest, weakest nation around and says, I'm going to pick these people as my people. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus also said, this is a nation that is supposed to be blessing all the other nations of the world. And we see it in scripture, don't we? We see Jonah being sent to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, who were sworn enemies of Israel. Jonah is sent to Nineveh to tell those people about the living God, and we're told that they believed. The Queen of Sheba comes to visit Solomon, and she goes away saying, what kind of God do you have that's so good to his people? She went away believing. Daniel, who is taken with his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into as prisoners into the court of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he brings the light of the living God to the people of Babylon. And it's Darius and Cyrus who help the people of Israel rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So right from the very beginning, we have this story that includes the whole world. And we're included too. Canadians, wherever we're from originally, all of us are invited to come and worship this king. But it might take effort. We might have to be like the wise men and go on a long journey to find this one who loves us. And when we come, what gifts are we invited to bring? Why not bring the best gifts to Jesus? Why not bring yourself? That is the gift that Jesus wants more than anything. He wants you to bring yourself to him, to bow down and worship and to say to God, I'm yours. Use me however you want to. Because then, like the wise men, it tells us that they went home rejoicing. It's not going to make us sad to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's going to fill us with joy. Even if there's tough times, there'll be tough times, there'll be good times, but we will be filled with the joy of the Lord, which will be our strength. And we're told that the wise men went home rejoicing. And I love this part. It says, by another route. When you meet Jesus face to face, when he becomes the one who leads your life, he will take you home by a different path. The old paths won't satisfy anymore. And he will bring you home, eventually to glory in heaven, but home here on earth by a different route. So your home can be anywhere on earth because God will be leading you into it. What a great way to end the Christmas season, by knowing that we can be wise people that can follow Christ, that we can have his joy inside of us. And by telling our story, we'll be like these wise men. The story reverberates through all the world, and it allows other people to rejoice as well. Amen.